This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News. I'm Chuck Sievertson. More than 30 million Americans are on alert for severe weather this morning, many already hit by the weekend tornadoes. ABC's Lionel Moise.
Satellite images showing the before and after of widespread damage in northern St. Louis. Entire city blocks left in ruin and public outrage with sirens not going off in many areas.
There was a failure, a human failure, a failure in protocol to get the sirens up and running.
The mayor saying the fire department will now take the lead in sending those alerts.
President Trump is expected on Capitol Hill this morning to push Republicans to pass a multi-trillion dollar budget package. Speaker of the House Mike Johnson.
This is arguably the largest and most comprehensive piece of legislation that Congress has worked on in probably generations.
Some Republicans argue there's still too much spending. More testimony today in the sex trafficking trial of Sean Diddy Combs in New York. And trains are running again in New Jersey after a strike was settled. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The early summer box office is not waiting for Tom Cruise and the new Mission Impossible to make some scratch. The final installment, Bloodlines, was well received, and that seemed to translate to box office numbers as the film pulled in $51 million at the gate domestically and topped $100 million worldwide. Despite its big ticket sales, it did cost $50 million to make, which is high for a horror film. Coming in second place was the Marvel film Thunderbolts, which pulled in just over $16 million at the box office in its third weekend. And right behind that was Ryan Coogler. Sinners, which has shown incredible legs, pulling in almost $16 million in its fifth week of release. Coming in fourth place was the Minecraft movie, and The Accountant 2 finished out the top five. And there's a pretty big film that opens in just 3 days, folks. Can you guess what it is? For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The crew hosts the Orioles. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Brewers and the Orioles again tonight in Milwaukee. Last night, the Brewers' William Contreras with four hits and the go-ahead RBI to win 5-4. I asked Contreras, how can he play catcher with that fractured middle finger on his left hand?
It's hard. Sometimes morning is hard to move it, but I have to do too many things in my finger, put in hot water and cold water during the day and get ready for the game.
NFL owners meetings underway today in Minnesota. The Packers will reintroduce a proposal to ban the Eagles' tush push. Green Bay confirms they've signed their first round draft pick, Matthew Golden, to a 4-year deal worth over $17 million guaranteed.
No, that's something they can expect out of me as a hard worker. You know, I'm committed to the process, but you know, I'm a dog and I'm a competitor. Each day I'm trying to get better, you know, 1% better, and just perfect my craft. You know, I'm bringing that dog mentality.
That's Packers rookie wide receiver Matthew Golden. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as Kira Sabin, our positivity psychologist coach, will be here in her second of a three-part series on building community. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be windy and cold today with heavy rain likely. In fact, we could get an inch to an inch and a half or more of rain by the time everything winds down later tomorrow. Our high today in the upper 40s to low 50s. The wind out of the east gusting to between 30 and 40 here today. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 47.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on this show, we will review all things Wisconsin with Pat Kreitlow and then Missy Hughes. The Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation going to talk about Wisconsin business and tariffs.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Well, Wisconsin is just about ready to join the national protocol for testing milk looking for high path avian influenza. Why haven't we already been a part of the national program? That's why you listen to The Farm Show. Welcome to it, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Bay PM Yankee. This is the Midwest Farm Report, and we've been following this story for months. Last fall, a national protocol went out from USDA trying to search for high path avian influenza in our dairy herds. Well, that's an easier said than done process in a state like Wisconsin with more than 5,500 active dairy farms, many, many different directions that milk goes. We're going to learn a little bit more about what we've come to as far as conclusion for Wisconsin as we roll our way through the hour. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, joining us as well. Dow Jones Industrial Average had a tough day yesterday. Doesn't look like it's off to a great start today. Commodities also a little sluggish. We'll find out what John has to say about that. Rainfall reporters, get ready. You could be busy for the next 48 hours time, according to the forecast in front of me. Showers, possibly a thunderstorm kicking up probably before late afternoon today. This could be measurable rain, folks. We're talking between 1 and 2 inches possible out of some of these storms. High temperatures today, not much better than 50 degrees, and the winds will be noticeable out of the east, 20 to 25 gusting to 40 miles an hour. So I'm afraid the winter gear is almost called for on a day like this. Showers and thunderstorms continue into the evening hours. Overnight lows expected to be right around 45 degrees. Tomorrow, more showers in the morning. High temperatures 52. Another quarter to half inch, maybe even more, expected on Wednesday. Thursday, a 20% chance of showers in the morning. Otherwise, partly sunny, highs near 60 degrees. Stumach has our ag weather details in about 20 minutes. So have you been watching the drama unfold on the racetrack? I'm talking about horse racing. We've had a couple conversations now fresh off of our trip to Kentucky about the Kentucky Derby, which led off the month of May. Of course, last weekend was the Preakness Stakes, and now we're getting ready for the final jewel of the Triple Crown, the Belmont Stakes. And although there will not be a Triple Crown winner in this class of 2025, there have been others. What happened to the horses that have been so successful on the track? Maybe a really good stud, but then all of a sudden, it's time for retirement. Where do they go? There's been some tragic stories about winning horses that have actually ended up basically as dog food. Well, one group decided they didn't want that to ever happen again to any thoroughbred horse or any horse that was loved. Bob Bosol joins us now with the story.
Thoroughbred racing is in the headlines again, as it always is this time of the year because of the Triple Crown races. When traveling through Kentucky, thoroughbred country, the landscape's dominated by miles and miles of wooden horse fences and fancy stallion barns. I'm Bob Bosol from the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire, and on a recent trip to Kentucky, we visited a thoroughbred farm that is also home to retired champions. It's called Old Friends, and Tom Beatty is one of the farm's champion caretakers.
Old Friends is a retirement farm for thoroughbreds, both stallions, mares, and geldings. It was started in 2003, and we have about 300 horses in total under our umbrella, spread out here in Georgetown, Kentucky, as well as in New York.
It's kind of like a senior citizen's home, but you don't have to pay near as much to have a horse here as you do your mother and a senior citizen's.
People call us sometimes a hospice, and sometimes a senior citizen home, and stuff like that, but yeah, we take care of them. And some of the horses come to us. They're very young, and we'll take care of them for life. And we enjoy doing that with them.
How do you acquire these horses? And maybe acquire isn't the right word, but how do they come to be on Old Friends?
Well, Old Friends is one of the leaders in thoroughbred aftercare. People know about us, and a lot of thoroughbred owners will ask us to take one of their horses in retirement and keep it here. And that's how we get them. They're donated by their previous owners. At that point, they become property of Old Friends. We get the registration papers and everything and take care of them for sometimes just a few years, depending on their age, but other times for 20-plus years. So we spend a lot of time with them and take care of them the best we can.
Now, you can go, as I mentioned, Three Chimneys, I mentioned Claiborne. You can go to those farms and see some champions of the Triple Crown races, of the, you know, the Breeders' Cup races. Give us a rundown of the roster and the horses that you have and some of the races they've won over the years. This is really a hall of champions.
It is. We have, three Kentucky Derby winners right now. We've had others in the past that have since passed on.
Who are the three living ones you have right now?
The three ones we have now are Big Brown, I'll Have Another, and Silver Charm. Silver Charm is the oldest living Kentucky Derby winner. He's 31 years old now. And we've had other horses that have won the Preakness Stakes. We've had horses that have, a lot of horses that have won the Belmont Stakes as well. So we have a lot of Triple Crown exposure here at Old Friends. And we have, a lot of other horses that have won championship races, Breeders' Cup races, Lava Man. We have Little Mike. We have a lot of different horses that have won big races.
What does it take to keep them young and vibrant? Of course, they're not breeding anymore.
No breeding, no racing. But they, these horses, their entire working lives, racing or breeding, they're told what to do and when to do it, how often to do it, how fast to do it. And once they come here, that's off their shoulders. And they just, they sort of relax and chill out, if you will. And some of them still run in the paddocks. It's not unusual to see them running. But I think they just are ready to, like most human retirees, to just sort of kick back and enjoy the time.
And you do more than just feed them. You take care of their feet. You take back
medical bills, their feet. We have farriers that come and take care of their feet all the time, and we take care of them the entire time they're here. I mean, during the rest of their lives when they come here.
What's the most fun you get out of it? Because we took your tour, and you absolutely love all these horses and this facility.
What I enjoy most is learning their personalities. Every one of these horses, all 300 of them, no two of them are alike. And it's just fun learning their likes and dislikes, their personality traits and whatnot, the thing they do, how they treat our visitors, different things like that. And I love telling their stories.
You got a favorite horse on the ground right now?
I really like Big Brown, but it's hard to have a favorite. There's so many good ones here.
And he just came.
Yeah, he came in October.
And his breeding career obviously is over.
His breeding career is over. He had a wonderful breeding career. He sired over 1,000 foals during his breeding career and just did a heck of a job. So, yeah, we've got a lot of them that have had excellent breeding careers. We had one horse here, a horse named Gulch, that sired over 1,100 foals during his breeding career. And just a fantastic representation of the horse thoroughbred breeding industry as well.
Now, we talked a little while ago about Silver Charm, Big Brown, I'll Have Another, and Touch Gold. Did you ever sit down and add up how much money these horses have all won cumulatively? Because it has to be a fantastic number, because some of them are multi-millionaires, and together it has to be unbelievable.
It is a high number, and right now that number stands at about $320 million.
Represented by the horses in these paddocks right here.
Represented by the horses. And you have to also look at not only what those horses earned, but what their offspring have earned. And I call that the total impact that that horse has had on the racing industry. And that figure alone now is about $1.5 billion.
Old Friends. How did it get started? Who started it? And I would imagine there's a lot of demand from some of these owners that have some of these horses are getting too old to still be in the breeding shed. Do you have your pick of who wants to come here, and how does that work?
No, they people submit applications. Obviously, you know, we try to get horses that people have heard of, you know, and have had good careers, because that increases tourism. But the farm got started in 2003 by Michael Blowen, all because of one horse, a horse named Ferdinand. That horse unfortunately died in Japan in a slaughterhouse incident over there many years ago.
And he was a Kentucky Derby winner.
He was a Kentucky Derby winner, 1986. So if anything good were to come out of his death, it's the fact that thoroughbred aftercare is much more important now.
Are there more of these facilities around the area?
There are a lot of rescue foundations, and there are some many good ones of those, but their primary mission is to take the horse in and find it another home, to adopt the horse out. We are the only long-term care facility that I'm aware of. There are some for stallions anyhow. Now, there are some from for mares, but to the best of my knowledge, the only ones that will take stallions, because they're sort of can be problematic in their older age.
But still in all, when you take a tour, stallion come up the fence, you can feed them carrots out of their hand. They can't be too tough.
Well, some of them can be. I'll have another, like I said earlier, he likes carrots, fingers, and arms, and clothes. So you're liable to catch him doing anything.
And, of course, being from Wisconsin, we saw a horse called Milwaukee Brew.
Absolutely.
How old's Milwaukee Brew, and how good a racehorse was he?
Milwaukee Brew is now he's 28 years old. He's one of our senior citizens. He's a great racehorse. He earned well over $2 million in his racing career. And that was, you know, back many years ago when the value of the races just wasn't as high as it is now. So he would be have earned much more money if he was won the same type of race as racing in today's environment. But he loves visitors, and he we had to walk down to see him on your tour because he was happily eating the grass, so he didn't want any carrots. But he finally came to the fence.
Are there some horses that are on the list to be coming in here soon, or when do you find out the new ones, and how many can you take?
What drives us is the sex of the horse. The stallions require a paddock to themselves. If we bring a gelding in or a mare in, they can usually go in a paddock with more. But the stallions are sort of the driving force, and we just have to make sure we don't get too many of them that we can't place them each in a paddock. But we take care of all of them the best we can, and that's pretty much it.
They've got a pretty good life. They never see a saddle anymore.
Yeah, no, never see a saddle. And unfortunately, they never see a breeding shed either, you know, because many of them would like to do that.
I'm sure they would. If you want to see champions in the thoroughbred industry, old friends in Georgetown, Kentucky, and if you're lucky, you'll get Tom Beatty to be your tour guide out there. With Tom, here in Georgetown, at old friends from the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire, I'm Bob Bosold.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
News from the Center, WRCE.
An elegant, intimate experience in fine dining is right here at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge features choice cuts of Angus beef and fresh seafood prepared to perfection over an open flame grill, complemented by an extensive selection of fine wines and signature martinis. A passion for detail in exceptional dining. The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. Open Thursday through Sunday. Call and make your reservations today.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Matt and Air on Air.
The Joint Finance Committee just had four meetings around the state of Wisconsin. The top three things of concern to people were education, health care, and child care. The Republicans stripped all of those things out of Governor Evers' budget. So I'm thinking about going next time just to make sure that they all put their phones down when I'm talking to them, because I have a feeling they're all playing Candy Crush because they're not paying attention to what people are saying.
Catch Matt and Air on Air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The announcement by Republicans that they are removing 612 items from Governor Evers' proposed budget. Free school breakfast and lunches, extra money for PFAS monitoring. We've only scratched the surface of some 600 ideas investing in education, protecting consumers, and every one of those things is going to be taken out this week when Republicans meet to form their own budget.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, WRCE. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, two swell Appleton gentlemen join me in the studio. First, comedian Rob Breckenridge, then owner of Appleton Cigar, our pal Norm Kopesky, is here to talk about Smoke on the Fox.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
It is last week. If we get that return of pattern, it'll be a nice Memorial weekend. But on the short term, my rainfall reporters are going to get busy, huh?
Yeah, we're going to get busy with rain. And yeah, it seems really early. And I think it seems kind of cool yet. But those temps do turn around later this week. That's the good news. The rainfall has been adding up already this morning. I see La Crosse weighed in at 200ths of an inch, Eau Claire at 400ths of an inch. Rain is falling from western into southwest, all the way over to southeast Wisconsin as well, just about into the Racine, Kenosha area, down towards Chicago, more likely seeing the rain right now in Rockford. But that rain is building in from the west, and low pressure is off to the south. It's going to slip into Iowa today. And around that system, that rainfall is going to push further east right into Wisconsin. Rain extends all the way from North Dakota into western and southern Minnesota, western, southwest Wisconsin, eastern Iowa. It's a pretty large area, not heavy, not major storminess in it, but there's going to be some rain. And it really does appear that into parts of especially southwest Wisconsin and then up into the south and central parts of the state, rain amounts are going to start to add up between today, tonight, and into the day tomorrow. We could very well be talking of rain amounts up to an inch and over. There may be some 2-inch amounts in the southwest part of the state, just west of Madison, if you will. I'd expect it's going to be pretty wet, especially in southern Wisconsin, way far in the north. There may not be much at all. I'm looking up toward the UP border. There's not going to be much rain at any time, but I think we are going to certainly talk about precipitation spreading through the state with clouds and rain today. Those temperatures stay a lot cooler like they did yesterday. Certainly cool, even cooler for today. And that rain chance then lingers right on through the night and into the day Wednesday. There will then be some moderation. We start to dry it out toward the end of the week. The temps at least head back into the 60s for most of us. That's starting to push back closer to normals. Should talk about that. The normals like La Crosse already today is 73. Madison and Milwaukee all around 71 and just a little cooler in the north. So we are going to be a little cool toward the end of the week. I'll have those forecast details right after this.
Grilling experience. That means you should think twice about what you're putting on the grill and what people will put in the center of their plate. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here to remind you about Bavaria Sausage. Not only do they have award-winning products that you can pick up at their store located at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg, Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturday, 9 until 1, always open online, BavariaSausage.com. The other item to keep in mind is the clean label that your family can enjoy. Simple ingredients make the savory flavors that are featured in all of Bavaria Sausage's selections. And let's also remember about the convenience and value you're getting. Think about that protein that you're featuring for your family and the inexpensive cost when you purchase at Bavaria Sausage. Check it out online, BavariaSausage.com. Stop by and say hello. Corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg. Bavaria Sausage. Just noticing on social media, one of my farm broadcast buddies out in South Dakota said they picked up some pretty heavy, wet snow in the past 24 hours time. I guess that's one area we don't have to worry about, huh, Stu?
Yeah, we're not going to be fighting that around here. There still is some snow way out in western South Dakota, as a matter of fact. But our new fields ag forecast does include that snow, but it does include cloudy skies today and rain showers. There may be an early thunderstorm south. More likely, if there is a thunderstorm, it happens later this afternoon. But rain that could be heavy at times during the day today, upper 40s and very low 50s or highs. That's all we're going to see today. And east winds will be up to 20 and even gusting to 40 miles per hour. hour. Cloudy skies, showers, could be that evening thunderstorm. We're going to be falling back into the 40s. There may be some upper 30s in the far northeast with those east winds still gusting near 35. And even Wednesday, mostly cloudy, showers and isolated thunderstorm, upper 40s and very low 50s for highs with northeast winds then gusting up near 15 or so. And by Thursday, a slight rain chance in the south, partly sunny otherwise. And that's where we see the upper 50s, even some low 60s, Pam. It starts turning around then for Thursday. But before that, there could be that inch or two in southwest Wisconsin and at least an inch in many other locations.
All right, rainfall reporters, remember your number, 877-301-FARM. Your update this morning brought to you by Newfield Ag News. Newfield's Ag Weather Update available online at newfieldsag.com to experience the...
News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Gerrymandering, the manipulation of voting district boundaries to engineer an election outcome which benefits a particular party, had a significant impact on control of the new Congress. A new report by the Brennan Center for Justice found over 4 of 5 congressional districts were won by a margin of over 10%, including 90% of the GOP House majority. Within that number, 132 GOP winners were in districts with winning margins of 25% or more, and 112 by a Democrat. In comparison, only 30 districts nationwide were decided by 5% or less, and only 19 districts were competitive enough to flip. The Brennan Center points to North Carolina as a state which, after a more liberal Supreme Court was flipped conservative in 2022, replaced the previous court's 7-7 competitive maps with the legislature's gerrymandered version, resulting in a 10-4 GOP congressional seat advantage. The most effective solution to gerrymandering at the moment is citizen-led independent redistricting, which has been successful in producing fairer and more competitive maps in California, Michigan, Utah, and a handful of other states. Brennan found that independent commissions, citizen-led or otherwise, drew only 82 congressional districts this cycle, but those districts were 3 times more competitive. We have the Brennan Center's report at AmericanDemocracyMinute.com.
The Todd Alba Show.
I'm as guilty as anybody about this, not talking to real people in person. I'm sorry, I don't believe that texting or video conferencing or any other of that jazz can supplement one-on-one interaction. We as humans need other humans. We need to connect with people. So anyway, that's the public service announcement to start off the week. Get outside and talk to real live humans. You'll feel better.
Catch the Todd Alba Show at its new time, weekdays 2-4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. The Maggie Don Show.
Professor Howard Schwaber.
The point is worth making that an individual government official with the power to unilaterally declare that people can be seized without any opportunity of a hearing of any kind is getting really close to the model of rule that the American constitutional system is entirely designed to resist.
Entirely designed to resist. Antithetical to our foundational principles.
The Maggie Don Show. Weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News. I'm Chuck Sievertson. More than 30 million Americans are on alert for severe weather this morning, many already hit by the weekend tornadoes. ABC's Lionel Moise.
Satellite images showing the before and after of widespread damage in northern St. Louis. Entire city blocks left in ruin and public outrage with sirens not going off in many areas.
There was a failure, a human failure, a failure in protocol to get the sirens up and running.
The mayor saying the fire department will now take the lead in sending those alerts.
President Trump is expected on Capitol Hill this morning to push Republicans to pass a multi-trillion-dollar budget package. Speaker of the House Mike Johnson.
This is arguably the largest and most comprehensive piece of legislation that Congress has worked on in probably generations.
Some Republicans argue there's still too much spending. More testimony today in the sex trafficking trial of Sean Diddy Combs in New York. And trains are running again in New Jersey after a strike was settled. This is ABC News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Mission Impossible opens in just 3 days and already has pulled in $12 million prior to its domestic release. Tom Cruise is on a press tour receiving standing ovations, and the latest is in New York, where Cruise addressed the crowd at the premiere. Cruise said it was director Christopher McQuarrie's idea 7 years ago to shoot Dead Reckoning Part 1 and the current Final Reckoning at the same time. He told the crowd it was an honor and a privilege to be part of the franchise. The film had its worldwide premiere at Cannes last week and also received a five-minute standing ovation. It opens this Friday, May 23rd. More news out of the Cannes Film Festival, where fans of Wes Anderson will be thrilled to learn that he received almost an eight-minute standing ovation after the premiere of his film, The Phoenician Scheme. The film has an impressive ensemble cast, which includes Wisconsinite Willem Dafoe and Benicio del Toro in the lead. It's reviewing well and opens June 6th in the U.S. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The crew hosts the Orioles.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Brewers and the Orioles again tonight in Milwaukee. Last night, the Brewers' William Contreras with four hits and the go-ahead RBI to win 5-4. I asked Contreras, how can he play catcher with that fractured middle finger on his left hand?
It's hard. Sometimes morning is hard to move it, but I have to do too many things with my finger, put in hot water and cold water during the day and get ready for the game.
NFL owners' meeting's underway today in Minnesota. The Packers will reintroduce a proposal to ban the Eagles' tush push. Green Bay confirms they've signed their first-round draft pick, Matthew Golden, to a four-year deal worth over $17 million guaranteed.
No, that's something they can expect out of me as a hard worker. You know, I'm committed to the process, but you know, I'm a dog and I'm a competitor. Each day I'm trying to get better, you know, 1% better, and just perfect my craft. You know, I'm bringing that dog mentality.
That's Packers rookie wide receiver Matthew Golden with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as Kira Sabin, our positivity psychologist coach, will be here in her second of a three-part series on building community. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be windy and cold today with heavy rain likely. In fact, we could get an inch to an inch and a half or more of rain by the time everything winds down later tomorrow. Our high today in the upper 40s to low 50s, the wind out of the east gusting to between 30 and 40 here today. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 47.
Elegant, intimate experience in fine dining is right here at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge features choice cuts of Angus beef and fresh seafood prepared to perfection over an open flame grill, complemented by an extensive selection of fine wines and signature martinis. A passion for detail in exceptional dining. The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. Open Thursday through Sunday. Call and make your reservations today.
The Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. A major program that protects drinking water is on the chopping block in Congress. Lawmakers are considering slashing $2.4 billion from the state revolving fund. The program helps Wisconsin replace lead pipes and filter toxic contamination out of drinking water supplies. Our state will lose $54 million next year if funding gets cut. Parts of Wisconsin are being invaded this month by lake midges. Swarms of the insects have been rising from water bodies, including Lake Monona in Madison. The bugs can create quite a scene when they all hatch at once, but they are harmless and provide food for fish, bats, and birds. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into environmental issues across Wisconsin, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Hello, Bluey.
Talking with our pal, Stuart J. Waddles. This is an episode of Bluey that Stuart turned me on to. I like this show so much. Would it be weird if I left my wife, remarried, and had kids with someone else just so I could watch Bluey with my new set of kids?
I don't think it'd be that weird. I've heard a weirder.
You have?
Make a great story.
You get the exclusive.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
So getting a handle on high-path avian influenza, not just in birds, but in dairy cattle, has been challenging for our testing system. Finally, Wisconsin is ready to join the national protocol when it comes to looking for high-path avian influenza in dairy. Welcome back on a Tuesday morning. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. We've got details on that in just a moment. Also, John Heinberg, Market Advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, stepping to the microphone. We've got a couple questions about the planting progress report and what he saw. Dow Jones Industrial Average this morning, not real happy, just like it wasn't on Monday. Commodities kind of quiet. All those details on the way. This, the 20th day of May. Did you know on this day in 1873, Levi Strauss and Jacob Davis invented the garment that many of us own today? It's called jeans. Different type of trouser than they'd seen in the world. Blue jeans, patented on this day, 1873. On this day, 1927, Charles Lindbergh took off on the first solo nonstop transatlantic flight. He left from Long Island in the United States, got to Paris, France at 22:22 the next day. Charles Lindbergh capturing the first solo nonstop transatlantic flight on this day, 1927. Happy birthdays for you this morning. You heard a little of her music a moment ago. Cher is 79 years young today. And race car driver Tony Stewart turns 54. And now you know. Well, we know more details on how Wisconsin is going to be testing milk across the state looking for high-path avian influenza. Now, keep in mind, Wisconsin has been testing milk since last fall when there became a concern that high-path was suddenly showing up in dairy. So far, Wisconsin has been free of it, and that's wonderful news. We got more details yesterday on what the protocol will be for testing of that milk. Stephanie Hoff brings us that update.
Wisconsin is kicking off its national milk testing strategy, testing the milk of every dairy farm for H5N1, or the bird flu, every month. It doesn't require any extra work at the farm level. The samples will come from the routine milk sample collection that already happens on dairy farms. The state has already tested about 6,000 milk samples for H5N1 through existing orders, and so far, no positives. But what if it is detected? Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection Secretary Randy Romanski walks us through the game plan.
If H5N1 is detected through the testing, DATCAP's Division of Animal Health, so Dr. Conkle is on with us, we'll be notified by the Wisconsin Veterinary Diagnostic Lab, and the Division of Animal Health will then notify farms. They would also work with any affected farms if there should be a positive regarding quarantine requirements. One of the things that I would point out is that what we've seen from other states is that farms that have experienced a positive may continue shipping milk if it meets the normal milk standards. So there is a continuation of commerce. And again, the goal with the testing, as it has been all along, is to identify whether it exists and then take steps to get rid of it if it does, if it is occurring.
Wisconsin had been waiting for approval from the U.S. Department of Agriculture to kick off its version of the National Milk Testing Strategy. Wisconsin's administrator for the Division of Food and Recreational Safety, Adam Brock, explains why Wisconsin's plan was unique.
So there was a lot of education that had to go in to explain why certain things wouldn't work, silo sampling. We could do that, but it's not statistically significant, right? We also, once you start splitting down silos and you look at something like tanks running across the state, it can become a real issue for traceability, right? Because once you find it, you want to have a prompt response. And when you don't do this close to the source, potential source, it delays the process of addressing the issue. So we spent a lot of time working back and forth on that, and finally were able to educate and get to some conclusions.
Now that Wisconsin has USDA's approval, the department expects that testing will kick off this week. But what does that mean on the dairy farm? Adam Brock has the details.
We are going to utilize the current system they use for sending samples to the quality labs for testing. So yes, haulers sending in samples. We looked at a couple different methods, but the big thing was if farmers are sending in their routine samples monthly and these are going to these third-party labs, how do we integrate into that process and not create additional people on the farm, spend time retraining people on new techniques? So there were a lot of hurdles. So we went with the process that currently is in place. Those samples show up at the quality testing labs. A portion of that is aliquoted off, or a small portion is taken and put into vials and then sent to WVDL. So we're not only optimizing the solution, what we're trying to do is not waste the milk. So it can still undergo its quality testing. We take a small portion off for this specific H5N1 test. Little impact to the farmer on the front end, and we can continue to flow with the process.
Wisconsin has well over 5,000 dairy farms. So can the Wisconsin Veterinary Diagnostic Lab handle that capacity monthly? Adam says they're ready to get started.
Yes, Stephanie, you're right. We have talked to WVDL, Dr. Polson, and the lab, and they feel confident that they can deal with that number of samples. Roughly, you're looking at about 1,250 samples a week once we get rolling. So there will be a ramp up so that we have time to just make sure that we're getting samples in. There's no issues with the process. We have trialed. I know WVDL has done some trial of non-H5N1 just to see if the process works. And we're confident that will work. But partnering with them, and again, Stephanie, it's about 1,250 samples a week once we are fully rolling.
Adam Brock along with us. He's the administrator for the Division of Food Safety. We also heard from Department of Agriculture, Trade and Consumer Protection Secretary Randy Romanski. Wisconsin is starting the mandatory National Milk Testing Strategy. The program aims to boost the surveillance of the highly pathogenic avian influenza in dairy cattle, to make sure that if H5N1 does affect herds, we can act quickly. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
With Clarifly Larvicide, you get more than just a fly control product. You get more support, more expertise, and more control to prevent the emergence of nuisance flies from the manure of treated cattle by as much as 96%. It is perfectly blended in your mineral supplement to become a part of what you are already doing, feeding your cattle. Get control of flies with a comprehensive program built around Clarifly Larvicide and Sarbar products. To learn more about Clarifly Larvicide, contact your local feed dealer or visit centralflycontrol.com.
Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong. Get insurance from a company who knows Wisconsin and cares about your community. You may know Rural Mutual Insurance as the number one farm insurer, but did you know they also offer competitive home and auto rates? Visit ruralmutual.com to learn more about products and discounts.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
When it's time to choose a residual herbicide for your soybeans, you need broad-spectrum weed control that lasts. Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides by BASF give your crop up to 2 more weeks of residual weed control, providing 50% more control than other Group 15 residuals. The long-lasting herbicide portfolio protects your soybeans from even the toughest weeds while providing a steady growing environment for the entire season. Talk to your retailer today about adding Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides to your 2025 plan. Always read and follow label directions.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, is on the way in just a moment to give us an update on why the markets are doing what they're doing this morning. I can tell you farmers are doing what they can with Mother Nature to try to get spring planting wrapped up. As of Sunday, across the state of Wisconsin, 73% of our corn was in the ground and 23% had already come through the soil surface. 66% of the soybeans were in the ground, 19% had already emerged. 82% of the oats are going, and so far, 65% of that crop is rated good, 19% excellent on the oats. Potato producers just keep rolling. 84% of the spuds have already been planted, and they say 5% of the first cutting of that valuable alfalfa crop has already been harvested. I know weather's going to throw a monkey wrench in some of that. Yesterday, as far as the dairy complex, barrel cheese dropped 2.5 cents to 185.5. 40-pound block cheese was down 3.25 at 189.75. Well, AA butter stood still. On a Tuesday morning, the June Class 3 milk that goes into cheese up a nickel at 1907. Currently, July corn is up a penny. December new crop up a penny and a half at 443. July soybeans unchanged. November new crop also unchanged at 1037. The wheat for July, that's currently 6.5 cents higher at 535. While the Dow Jones Industrial Average currently down more than 60 points. What's going on as far as the markets and what's the conversation we're looking forward to today? That's why we dial up John Heinberg, market advisor out of West Bend. He joins us live on the Midwest Farm Report next.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Farm Rescue makes sure that you aren't alone. They're there to extend the hand and to take the burden.
Even the most independent farmers need help sometimes, and asking for that help is protecting the future. Farm Rescue provides equipment and volunteers free of charge to assist in times of crisis. We're currently accepting applications for planting and haying assistance. If you or someone you know could use our help, call 701-252-2017 or visit farmrescue.org.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The announcement by Republicans that they are removing 612 items from Governor Evers' proposed budget. Free school breakfast and lunches, extra money for PFAS monitoring. We've only scratched the surface of some 600 ideas investing in education, protecting consumers, and every one of those things is going to be taken out this week when Republicans meet to form their own budget.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
The Joint Finance Committee just had 4 meetings around the state of Wisconsin. The top 3 things of concern to people were education, health care, and child care. The Republicans stripped all of those things out of Governor Evers' budget. So I'm thinking about going next time just to put the phones down when I'm talking to them, because I have a feeling they're all playing Candy Crush because they're not paying attention to what people are saying.
Catch Matt Nair on air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health, but you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will review all things Wisconsin with Pat Kreitlow and then Missy Hughes. The Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation going to talk about Wisconsin business and tariffs.
Matinere on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Still actually one very key state that's kind of behind the averages. I mean, still in the overall picture in pretty good shape, and they did make a nice jump last week, but that's the state of Illinois. You know, Illinois is still trading about 3% behind its five-year average at this time frame in terms of getting this crop in the ground. Now we got some decent moisture on the radar again, and the biggest concerns is the southern half of Illinois, Indiana, up the Ohio River Valley into Ohio. Ohio is one of those laggard states as well, with only 34% of the crop in the ground. They're about 15% or 14% behind the five-year average. Got a client out in that area. He's just basically been picking days where he could turn a wheel and get something in the ground, because it just seems like every other day they're getting some form of rain, sometimes big amounts, sometimes just that half inch, three quarters of an inch that knocks you out of the field type time frame. So now that crop progress number is here, we're going to probably start seeing it shift its focus, because obviously we know we've got a good demand base. And next year's supply number was a little tighter than the market anticipated when that last USDA report. So now we're going to get this last 22% in the ground, or how is it going to ground and things of that nature. And like I said, that this rainfall coming through some of those same areas again, that's just going to push it back even further. So that's brought a little bit of movement into the corn market. We saw some good strength yesterday in some buying. As you just said, markets actually just firmed up here quickly. We're trading about four cents higher now on corn, as well as a little bit more positive on the soybean. So that'll be the talk, I think, over the next couple of weeks, is can we get that corn in? And then on top of that, we'll probably throw that 181 yield out the window if we definitely see late planting in key states like Illinois and Ohio.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing, joining us on the Midwest Farm Report. I remind you about their website, totalfarmmarketing.com, and the toll-free number if you want to talk strategy with John, 800-334-9779. And let's talk strategy, John. So as you said, now we're getting at that stage where I know what I've got in the ground, both as far as acres and as far as the commodity. And is there any opportunity farther out for any of that crop that I haven't already forward contract or taken some risk management on?
I truly feel that this summer could bring us a lot of volatility, especially looking at the forecast. They're talking a hotter, drier type summer for the majority of the Corn Belt. And we're really worried about that Western Plains. I know they're getting some nice rain here, but they were at a pretty big deficit overall. And if we turn to the warmer and drier side, which is what the forecast is kind of saying, we're going to see some weather volatility in this market. And with that, we're going to probably get some spike moves. We'll see it also in a couple weeks span. Boom, we jump up 40, 50, 60 cents. And then we'll fall back right away very quickly if we get a rain here or there. So here's my plan for producers. I've been picking up some cheap calls over top of December corn, owning that crop, targets to sell into, and telling them to set their price targets. The market takes off, we let them fill, the paper takes over, but we're starting to build a good base underneath the marketplace overall. And that's going to be a key here, is keeping some balance in. But you got to take advantage of those opportunities when they get there, because we still do have a lot of supply that we're going to have to work through if the weather doesn't fall apart. So you got to take advantage of those opportunities when the market gives it to you.
How expensive is that move?
Right now, December calls aren't that expensive to get up into that 460, 470, 480 range. Even if I've got people buying $5 calls for 11, 12 cents, there's just not a lot of value or not a lot of expense up there for that type of a plan. 470 calls, about 18 cents. So that's, so there's a little bit of risk to it. But at the same time, we got to be very active when the moment happens that we can get some cash sales in.
John Heinberg again joining us live on the Midwest Farm Report, totalfarmmarketing.com, 800-334-9779. Let's pivot to cattle, John, because you were telling me off mic that you believe we might be wanting to watch cattle. What's going on there?
Well, first off, chart-wise, last week we put a, what we call a big reversal on the charts. Prices traded higher, then ended the day lower, and then we really haven't recovered from that. But there's a couple things I'm just keeping on my radar right now. Packers have been building some inventory. First off, carcass weights last week were massive, 54 pounds above last year's level, which is, and gaining 11 pounds a week. We're putting carcasses out there that are 965 pounds. So the Packers are getting some beef put into the cooler. Plus, on top of that, we're seeing strong imports of Brazilian beef coming in. That beef goes into the ground beef mixtures more than anything. Well, they cut, the good quality beef that we see at the meat case comes from the U.S. beef in terms of those price cuts, steaks, chops, things of that nature. But I think we're just at a spot here. We can see the cash market, since we're post Memorial Day, in terms of the demand now, that this market could be a little bit tired, not seeing it's done, and we're never going to see prices like this again, but I think we're due for a bit of a correction. So if producers got some cattle they need to cover between now and probably August, it might be a great spot to make sure you got some defense in.
Just talking internally or structurally speaking, John, sometimes during the summer months, we see some of these beef processors, meat processors in general, think about retooling, upgrading, doing something like that. Are they even going to get a chance to think about that this year?
I haven't heard anything on the pipeline in terms of that regard, but the interesting part of this is just the demand for U.S. beef continues to stay high. Choice carcasses, $355 or $54 yesterday, record high prices there. So the consumer still likes U.S. beef, but it just feels like we got a little bit of a stockpile build starting to go here, and especially as we get through that peak grilling demand window here with Memorial Day.
Yeah. So keep an eye on what goes on in Illinois and some of that Ohio River Valley, and watch beef.
Yes, very much so.
All right, man. Appreciate it, John. We'll catch up with you next week. Have a good Memorial weekend.
Sounds good. You too. Have a great week, everybody.
All right. John Heinberg joining us live on the Midwest Farm Report. Like I said, I always love to talk to John, especially at a morning like this when the markets are starting to change right in front of my very eyes. You can talk with him at 800-334-9779 or see the website totalfarmmarketing.com for any of the risk management tools that you might be looking for. Again, as we mentioned, there's rain coming in. Rainfall reporters, weather observers, 877-301-FARM. I'd love to hear from you.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
News from the Center, WRCE. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Professor Howard Schwaber.
The point is worth making that an individual government official with the power to unilaterally declare that people in D.C. that any opportunity of a hearing of any kind is getting really close to the model of rule that the American constitutional system is entirely designed to resist.
Entirely designed to resist. Antithetical to our foundational principles.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Farm groups make a case for conservation with the U.S. Senate Ag Committee. Next on Farm to Fork. The following is a public service announcement from Farm to Fork. As you're listening to this program, a dramatic paring down of 12 regional centers for agricultural safety and health is taking place. These centers rely on funding support from the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, and that agency's budget is being cut by more than 98%. Several of those centers have endorsed my 2025 Public Service Farm Safety and Health campaign, what you're listening to right now. I consider this a loss to the farming community. And while no money is changing hands, a loss to this campaign as well. These centers provide a valuable service to American farmers, their families, and their workers. If you want to make a case for retaining these centers and the services they provide, get in touch with your elected officials in Washington. If enough of you do, there may be a chance to save these services and save the lives and livelihoods of America's farmers. Several farm group representatives from the Midwest and the Mid-South tell the U.S. Senate Agriculture Committee they want more conservation, not less, in the next farm bill. Among those making the pitch, Gary Blair of Starkville, Mississippi, president of the National Association of Conservation Districts.
Our ability to achieve landscape scale conservation goals relies on the voluntary cooperation of millions of farmers, ranchers, and forest stewards who manage these lands every day. They want to leave the land better than they found it, but they can't do it alone. They need timely, high-quality technical assistance and conservation programs like EQIP and CSP to keep their lands healthy and productive.
Those testifying made it clear they were worried about staff and funding cuts affecting USDA conservation programs. Chad Ellis, CEO of the Texas Agricultural Land Trust, says the country is literally continuing to lose ground.
In the last 5 years, we've seen over 18,000 farms and ranches lost in Texas. We're losing 49 acres a day of our working lands that are being basically converted into the last crop, the crop of concrete.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, two swell Appleton gentlemen join me in the studio. First, comedian Rob Breckenridge, then owner of Appleton Cigar, our pal Norm Kopeski, is here to talk about Smoke on the Fox.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. The Todd Albaugh Show.
I'm as guilty as anybody about this, not talking to real people in person. I'm sorry, I don't believe that texting or video conferencing or any other of that jazz can supplement one-on-one interaction. We as humans need other humans. We need to connect to people. So anyway, that's the public service announcement to start off the week. Get outside and talk to real live humans. You'll feel better.
Catch The Todd Albaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings. But there's one that's different. It's important, and it could save your life. A lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. GoTo for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Alerts of potentially more violent storms are out for more than 30 million people, many hit by weekend tornadoes and twisters overnight. In hard-hit Kentucky, ABC's Janae Norman.
Some 80 miles south of Lexington, Kentucky, a path of utter destruction through Laurel County. The tornado's winds estimated to be at least 136 miles an hour. At least 17 people killed in this county alone.
A fourth New Orleans jail escapee has been captured out of the 10 who busted out last Thursday night. ABC's Andrew Dimbert.
Investigators say the inmates took advantage of defective locks and a hole behind a toilet to escape, leaving behind the message, "Too easy, LOL.
Investigators suspect the escapees got help. President Trump is expected on Capitol Hill this morning to push Republicans to pass a multi-trillion dollar budget package. More testimony today in the sex trafficking trial of Sean Diddy Combs in New York. Some focused on his ex, Cassie Ventura. This is ABC News.